We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Comic book characters are known for possessing awesome abilities outside of the scope of humanity. Superman is a Superman, possessing the ability to fly, super strength, and freeze breath. Thor possesses the power of a god and commands thunder and lightning. Cyclops emits a powerful energy beam or optic blast from his eyes. The Flash has super speed, and in modern-day representations, can slow time down around him by moving so quickly. All these characters have great abilities, but what about you? What's your superpower?
Life isn't meant to be ordinary. Life is meant to be super. I want to welcome everybody to Redemption Church today. You're either here in person or experiencing on the internet. Either way, we're glad that you are here and that we have fellowship with you. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm lead pastor here, and I welcome you. Can I talk to everyone in here for a moment? Just for a moment. Can I just talk to you for a moment? You sit on a couch and watch endless Netflix. It's Shark Week on Netflix right now, and you just might not get up because sharks are that interesting and amazing. Or maybe you never get up from your social media streams, and there's all these social medias, and you're just constantly looking at your social media. You can walk right past opportunities. You walk right past opportunities and end up suppressing your dreams. You can just show up to your job or to your school and never really apply yourself, never really get all that you could be. That's you. And you can just simply fade into the background. And you could think that you matter very little. You can live having never really lived. That's what you can do. But I'm not done talking about you, because you have gifting and ability inside of you to do amazing things. Yeah, you. And you can make a difference. And you can change your life. You can change your habits. You can change your family, your school, your work, your city, your church. You can change your nation. You could change the world. You can do that. You can do that. You can overcome setbacks. You can overcome disappointments. You matter. If you don't get anything else from this sermon today, get this. You matter. You're important. You're not a castaway. You are essential. God has a plan for this world, and you are a part of it. You have superpower. Yes, you do. In the last weeks in the superpower series, we told you in week one about vision. That's the ability to see and feel the need, to sense a better world and a future. That's vision. We all need vision. Two, we talked about super strength. A strength beyond your capacity. A strength that shows up even when you're weak. And then last week, we talked about invincibility. How you are impossible to destroy or conquer. Through Christ, we're invincible, but we aren't invulnerable. To be invulnerable, you would never feel pain, but you would also never feel joy. You would just become numb. We're not called to be numb, but we're not called to be defeated either. We're invincible through Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk to you about the superpower teleportation. Scott is so excited about this one. Teleportation or teletransportation is the theoretical transfer of matter or energy from one point to another without traversing the physical space between them. Did you follow me so far? Did I already lose you with the nerd speak. All right. The ability to move from one location to another location instantly. If I could vanish from this location right here on this stage and immediately appear at the back of this room without normal traveling, like walking there, that would be teleportation. Everybody got me so far? That's teleportation. Here's examples. Real quick, before I give you examples, can you think of a superhero that can teleport? Just blurt one out if you can think of one.
The Vanisher.
The Vanisher. The old Nightcrawler. Who thought of Nightcrawler? Raise your hand. Anyone? All right. He's probably the most known one, and we'll start with him. His Nightcrawler's real name is, anybody know? Kurt Wagner. Good job there, Pastor Scott there, youth pastor, everyone. He is the most known superhero who teleports. He's a part of the X-Men team, and he gets his power from mutant genetics. And if you take a look at this guy, he doesn't look normal. He's one of the mutants that doesn't look normal, and so you know immediately there's something up with this guy. He can probably do some kind of mutant powers. In the comics, he would teleport, and it would describe the sound in a word. All right? That's a little onomatopoeia for our English nerds out there. The sound Nightcrawler would make when he teleported was BAMF. BAMF. There you go. It's used constantly. If you are ever around a comic book nerd and want to really impress them, just throw that out there a little bit. Move really quickly and say BAMF while you do it. All right. So that's Nightcrawler. Blink is also a mutant teleporter from the X-Men series. She recently appeared in the X-Men movies, Days of Future Past. She has the ability to transport herself and other objects. So that's kind of cool. She doesn't just transport herself, but she can grab people and things and transport them. And then we got The Spot, which he looks really ridiculous. The Spot, his real name is Dr. Jonathan Owen. He is a comic book supervillain in the Marvel Comics universe and appearing as the enemy of Spider-Man and Daredevil. And he is able to open portals through other dimensions. And those portals open and he can reach through that portal. And so he would create a portal by Spider-Man's head and he would reach through that portal and punch him in the back of the head. Some of y'all wish y'all had that power right now, right? I would have gotten hit just like that. Right? He got this power through a science experiment gone wrong where he was exposed to radiation. All right? There's a picture of him right there. He's kicking Spider-Man, punching him and all that stuff. And what's really bad is because the radiation portal, for some reason, Spider-Man can't spider-sense he's about to be hit because it's coming through another dimension. And so he really had trouble beating the Spot. There you go. But outside of comic books, you should know that the notion of teleportation can be found as well. You got Jumper, recent movie. Well, 2008, still kind of recent. An underrated science fiction movie. Or how about Harry Potter? Featured teleporting house elves like Dobby, right? And also through magic port keys, right? We're totally getting all up in the nerd today, all right? Or how about a horror movie called The Fly? It featured a terrible science mishap involving a fly and a teleportation machine. You see, in this teleportation machine, they would take apart all of his DNA and they would put it back together in this teleportation device, but a fly got in it, so it got mixed up all inside of his DNA, and it's pretty horrifying what takes place, all right? And then, of course, there's Star Trek, right? That might be the most popular pop culture reference to teleportation because they have the transporter room where there's a guy named Scotty works. And what's the famous line? Captain Kirk would reach over and he'd touch his intercom and he'd say, "Beam me up, Scotty." "Beam me up, Scotty." You knew that, right, Katie? Big Trekkie nerd over there. All right. And there are many more examples of teleportation. Audiences have long been entertained by the notion of teleporting. It's a fantastic idea. Don't you agree that it is a fantastic idea? I always thought about how cool it would be to be a football player who could teleport. Because, I mean, you could be the quarterback and the receiver just like that. Just bam. Or you could be the running back and you just teleport right past the lineman. But there's a lot of places where you might think of being a teleporter. You're tired of your daily commute in Dallas traffic. Bamf, you're at work. Wouldn't that be great? Or you're in an awkward conversation or a bad date. And bamf, you're gone right there. Don't even have to pay for dinner right there. That would be stealing. Don't do that. Even if you have mutant powers, you have to use them for the good. Lacey, looking at you. All right. Or you hate airports? You hate baggage claims and all that stuff? No need to fly anymore. Bamf, you're in Paris right now. Or you're tired of your to-go order getting cold before you get home? Bamf, you are at home at the table. That would be useful. You would never be late for church again. Bamf, 10, 9, 8, 7, right there. Bamf. Like 10 seconds before church start, this place goes bamf. It's like, whoa, there's everybody out of here. Excellent. Long before science fiction and comic books, your Bible told you about teleportation. Did you know this? It's in your Bible, teleportation. Did you know it? Did you know? Look around. Oh, y'all are very knowledgeable. I can tell y'all already knew. So I'm not telling you anything you didn't know. But for us out there who didn't know, Jesus more than once appeared and disappeared in different places. Just bamf, he's gone all of a sudden. Once the scribes and Pharisees went to stone him and like, we're going to get this Jesus, and bamf, he's gone. And they're like, where did he go? How did he disappear? Derp. Other times he walked through walls. And maybe that's not teleportation, but it's pretty close. It's nonetheless very impressive. We're all in this room, and then Jesus walks through a wall. That is not your normal mode of transportation right there. And once Satan tempted Christ, and what happened? They both teleported to the top of the temple. You remember that? That's teleportation right there. Christ also ascended into heaven. You might not call that teleportation, but that's definitely a unique mode of travel that he went from this plane and he went up to heaven. And you should know that he's going to return in like manner. That's Jesus. He did it quite a bit. That just proves that teleportation is really cool because Jesus did it a lot. It's even cooler than walking on water, guys. Because he only did that once. All right. Enoch appears to have teleported. Maybe you don't know Enoch. He's not mentioned much in the Bible, but he's mentioned right here in Genesis 5:24. A guy named Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him. So Enoch's this good dude. He's walking with God. He's like having his day. And then suddenly, bamf, God took him. He teleported. Enoch was suddenly transported from this earth to another place. God took him. And Elijah, maybe you know about the prophet Elijah. He left this world in style, didn't he? 2 Kings 2:11. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Not just chariots of fire. Horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. One of them was Elijah, and the other one was Elisha. People get them confused. Elijah's older, Elisha's younger. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. So there's a lot of crazy stuff going on here. Number one, we got chariots and horses of fire, and then we got a whirlwind. Did he go up in the chariots or the whirlwind? I guess he went up in the whirlwind. It's kind of weird. I don't know what happened, but definitely he went from this world to another world, and it was not your normal mode of transportation, and it happened very suddenly, all right? And here's another one that should mean a lot to you and means a lot to me. Believers and followers of Jesus will experience a teleportation. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a flash. Not the superhero flash. But in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and will be changed. In an instant, in a flash, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise and they will be changed, all right? There is a moment where those who believe will be caught up to meet the Lord in the sky. And it's not going to be like this slow thing, like, whoa, what's happening? I'm floating. And it's like this long extended thing. And they're like, there goes Grandpa. He loved Jesus. No, it's going to be in a flash. It's in a moment. One moment they're here. The next moment they're gone. That's a teleportation. Every believer, everyone that follows Jesus Christ is going to experience a teleportation. And then Philip in Acts chapter 8 teleports. Philip, if you've been around Redemption Church over the last year or even over the last 15 minutes, you've heard us talk about Acts chapter 8. There is so much going on good in that chapter. In fact, Pastor Scott just talked about it in the offering. Remember that? Acts chapter 8? Good. You don't have short-term memory loss? It's good stuff. All right. It's an amazing chapter where a young man named Philip is running for his life from persecution. And as he is running from the city of Jerusalem, he goes through the area of Samaria and he preaches Christ in the area of Samaria. And he preaches in this one city and this whole city gets saved. This whole city converts. This whole city repents. Everybody gets baptized. Everybody gets healed. Even Simon the sorcerer. Peter and John come and they lay hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. That's Acts chapter 8. In the middle of this amazing revival, right? Everyone agrees. This is an amazing thing going down in Acts chapter 8. You nod your head at me. Stay awake with me and nod your head at me. Yeah, yeah, Pastor, we agree. That's amazing. In the middle of this amazing revival, God speaks to Philip, the guy that was running for his life. What do you think God would say to Philip? Think about that for a second. God speaks to Philip in the middle of this revival. What would God say to Philip? Maybe he'd say, hey, good job, Philly. Way to get him. Good job. Like that part where you preached about Jesus. Nope, didn't say that. All right. Dear blessed Philip, I want you to stay here and continue the work you have started and build a huge temple to my name. Nope, doesn't do that either. How about this? You have been faithful, and now I have this highly detailed plan for you to follow that's even more amazing than what you've just experienced, Philip. No, none of that. See, that's what we would have had God say, right? Right? No. Here's what happens. It goes down in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And that's it. That's the end of the message. All right. So I want you to think about this because I find it fascinating how God does things sometimes. This whole amazing thing, and then God right in the middle of the thing. I mean, in the middle of the thing. People are still getting laid hands on and receiving the Holy Spirit. It's just crazy. God sends an angel, and the angel basically says, hey, you know, go down that way and hang a left back by the Dairy Queen and go down this way. He gives them directions, walking directions. That's what the angel does. Go down this road right here. You know that road, that it's the desert road. Angels in my head have hick accents. All right. And Philip, well, first of all, isn't that amazing? God talks to you and it's never what you expect him to say. God might talk to you today. You've been asking for direction in your life. God might absolutely talk to you, but it might not be what you expected. He might tell you, you know what? Go to the Starbucks over there. And that's all he tells you. He tells them, just start walking this direction. He doesn't even tell them what's going to happen down there. Go down this desert road. That was all God said. No details. No reason behind it. None. If you are looking for reason, you're never going to follow God. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. I wish it did. Oh, I wish it did. But it doesn't. No specific location. That road over there, I'll give you enough information to let you know it's the desert road. So, Philip leaves this successful city-wide revival and goes out into the middle of the desert. Philip goes and he sees an Ethiopian, the Ethiopian eunuch. And he is parked in a chariot and reading scripture from Isaiah 53. If you know anything about the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 is a key messianic prophecy chapter. It's one of the amazing messianic prophecies. It talks about the suffering servant. Very big, prophesying the Christ. Philip speaks to the Ethiopian and tells him the scripture is about Jesus. How many knows that Jesus is the Christ? How many knows that? Well, Philip knew that, and he tells the Ethiopian, hey, what you're reading, do you understand it? It's about Jesus. And he shares the gospel with this man, and he baptizes this man. It's amazing. Just this happenstance of a meeting. It wasn't happenstance at all. God sent him down the road. In Acts 38, here's what happens. And he, the Ethiopian, gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. What happens here? Philip teleports. It's right there. Philip is teleported by the Spirit. In one moment, he's picking up the guy out of the water. You're baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And he's bringing up out of the water. And at that moment, the Spirit takes him away. And he's immediately taken to another place. The Ethiopian man just went right on rejoicing. And Philip was translated. He was teleported. Acts 8:40 says this, Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Okay, I want to explain to you what the power of teleportation is all about. Here's what it is. It's really complex. It might be too hard for you to understand. So really, I want you to take your time with this and really dig down deep and understand it. All right, here it is. The power of teleportation is being present. It's the power. The power of this teleportation is that simple. Being present. One moment you're present here. The next moment you're present here. Nightcrawler can decide to teleport anywhere. Somehow his body, every cell, every atom disassembles and then reassembles in another location. And there's this really cool puff of smoke, and it says BAMF, and he's gone. He simply has to decide where he wants to be present. It's all Nightcrawler has to do. Decide where he wants to be present. But can I tell you, atomic modification aside, is that really any different from us? Is that any different from you or me? Don't we have to decide where we want to be present in life? The only omnipresent person is God, right? All agreed. God is everywhere. He's not far from anyone. He is always with us. There's plenty of scriptures that tell us this. Now I want to tell you that Nightcrawler can be anywhere. He can be anywhere, but he can only be in one place at a time. The same can be said about you. You can only be in one place at a time. We may not have the ability to disassemble and reassemble our particles and to instantly travel to new places, but we do have the power to decide where we will be present. And I want to tell you that that is a superpower. Being present is a superpower. You might not celebrate it. There might not be any comic book really based on just, hey, there's that guy who's just there. But I want to tell you, there is an absolute superpower for you being present wherever you are. Philip in Acts 8 was teleported, and that is so cool. I've thought many times reading this how cool that would be. I mean, the rest of his life, I'm sure there were kids that would poke each other and say, hey, that's Philip over there. He's the guy who teleported. It was a cool thing. One moment, he's in the desert. Banff. The next moment, he's in Azotus, which is over 40 miles away. It's easy for us to concentrate on that cool thought. I mean, that is a supernatural power. I get it. But maybe we lose track of something equally amazing. Philip teleported from the desert road. But how did he get to the desert road? He walked. If God wanted to, he could have teleported Philip to the desert road, right? Angel of the Lord doesn't even need to show up now. He just, bamf, he's just immediately teleported. But no, God gave instruction and he followed the instruction. He walked and then he met the Ethiopian eunuch. He was present with him and he baptizes him, tells him about Jesus. And then he's teleported, all right? He's teleported from the desert road, but he was not teleported to the desert road. It's a big deal. I want you to stick with me on this. Instead, Philip chose to be present at the desert road by walking. I want to tell you that walking to the desert road because God told you to is as powerful as God teleporting you from the desert road. That'll direct your life if you will let it. Walking to the miracle is as powerful as the miracle. God calling you to something and you deciding, I think I will let God call me to this. You making that decision is as powerful as any revival, as any healing, as any supernatural miracle you can name. That is a superpower of simply being present. Philip exercised superpower long before he was teleported to Azotus. Being present is superpower. When he decided to be present in the midst of an angel, to listen to the command of God, that was the superpower moment. He wasn't distracted from the angel. See, there's this angel right there. He chose to be present in that moment. He could have said, oh no, I'm distracted. These people over here are doing this. And all this stuff is, angel, haven't you looked and seen what's going on in the city? No, he was present in the midst of God's command. He was present. And every step he took was in obedience towards the place that God called him. Even though it was ambiguous, even though it wasn't completely understood, every step he took was a step in obedience. And even though he walked into the unknown, that was a superpower moment in every step. Some of you, you don't understand what's going on in life, but you know God has called you to walk this road. You know God has directed your life, and you don't understand all the ins and outs, but I want to tell you, every step you take, not giving up, not turning around, is a superpower moment. Some of you have been praying for your family for so long, and you don't see anything happening. Don't you give up. God told you to walk this way. Don't you dare turn around. You're walking in obedience. You're walking in a superpower. And then when he saw someone he could build a relationship with and perhaps share Christ with, even if it were just for a few moments, he decided to be present in that situation, and it was powerful. I want you to get this, that he was told to walk down this road, but God never said, hey, just a little tip, look for the guy on the chariot. Look for the Ethiopian. Look for the dude reading scripture. He's going to be reading Isaiah 53, and then you'll know. No, not at all. He just told him to walk. But when he saw that Ethiopian, he could have just walked right past, but that wouldn't have been present. He decided to be present. And let me tell you, let me just go ahead and tell you that he could have been a racist and walked right past that Ethiopian. Philip's Jewish. This guy right here, he's an Ethiopian. I don't have anything to do with the Ethiopians. He could have walked right past them. Your racism will keep you from being present with people. Your bigotry and hatred will keep you from being present with people. But he laid all of his cultural background that was kind of racist, and he was present with this man. Can I tell you that being present is a superpower? And it's a superpower everyone in this place has. No one in this place can say, I don't think that one's my gift. No, it's your gift. As long as your heart is going thunk, 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 you've got that power. Are you using that superpower? Are you being present? Remember, we aren't omnipresent. We can only be in one place at a time. So we have to decide where we're going to be present. Often we are here, but not really here. That's not being present. But that's us, isn't it? Often we're here, but not really here. Hey, I showed up today, but I really didn't show up. Katie, I want you to already come. Sitting at the dinner table with people that mattered, yet focused on your phone and why no one has liked your clever status update. That's not being present. You're at the table, but you're a million miles away. At home, thinking about work. And at work, thinking about home. Never present, always somewhere else. Can't move on in your relationship because your mind is present somewhere in the past. When that time someone hurt you and your mind can't leave that place. And that time you failed. And even when your loved ones bring it up, you play a good game. You nod and you say the right things, but you know you haven't moved on. You're stuck in the past and you're not in the present. You could be exactly where God wants you to be. You're in a place like Philip on that desert road, right in front of a person begging to know Jesus and understand faith. But you're not ready to share Jesus because you're afraid or because you're distracted. You're exactly positioned by God, yet not present. You're there, but you aren't really there. God has worked so hard to get you to this place, to get that person to this place. And there you are. You're both present, but you really aren't present. You're not really there. God has brought you to some places, sitting at a table with your loved ones, and you're supposed to be present in that moment. But where are you? Hello? Wake up. Your children need you to be present. Your loved ones need you to be present. Your friends need you to be present. Plano, Texas needs you to be present. But you aren't there. Sitting in church. Oh man, sitting in church, that's a great place to be. Good for you today. Everybody here, and I mean it, I'm so glad you're here. You're sitting in church. You're right there. You could be anywhere on the internet, but you're watching this or listening to this on the internet. That's great. It's a great place to be where you are, really. But are you really here? I mean, you're here, but are you really here? I mean, you sang praise to God and offered your hearts. Did you do that? I mean, you sang the lyrics and you were in the room, but were you present? Listening to this sermon. But have you made the mistake of thinking, oh man, this sermon's meant for so and so. Oh man, this one's not for me. But I know who this one's for. It's for that no good Shelton Mono. Because he hasn't been present. He's been in Zimbabwe. Thinking it's for someone else and not you, it's a big mistake. Are you hearing the word of God? Do you understand that there is a world that is in desperate need of you? God really wants you to know that. There's a world in desperate need. Yeah, they're in need of Jesus. And this sounds idolatrous to say, but they don't just need Jesus. They need you. bringing them Jesus. Do you understand? I want to tell you that this sermon is for you. Are you present? Are you here right now? And we're about to talk to God. I'm serious. We are about to do it. I'm about to shut this thing down for us to talk to God. And we do this every week. It's Oh-Hum. You knew this was coming if you came to church today. We told you at the beginning this was coming. And here we're about to walk into this moment. It's the third thing we do, and we do it every time. And you will come down to this altar area, but will you really be here in this altar? You've been battling frustration and struggles all week, yet you come down here and you kind of wait out till service ends, till we dismiss the service. You just kind of wait your time. It's like, all right, we've got about 5 minutes here. I'll just close my eyes a little bit and I'll go through the number. I'll play my part. Can I tell you that's not being present? You're here, but are you really here? It's time to be present. A few weeks ago, we got a call from someone who had been calling church after church after church. We get calls like this often. And they just open up the yellow pages and they start calling churches. They just go down the list. And the person was calling on behalf of an Alzheimer's care facility. And her sales pitch was, hey, you want to minister to some people who won't remember you ministered to them in 5 minutes? Much less ever come to your church. That was her sales pitch. Here was the real question she was asking, though. Will someone be present? There's these people that need someone. Could someone from a church be present? Will someone teleport over here? They can come any way they want. They could atomic modification themselves right here in a puff of smoke. Or they could, I don't know, take the dart. Could someone come? Yes, Jesus. Will someone choose to be present? And we said yes. And the following isn't meant to be a pat on our backs for saying yes. Oh, aren't we really good at what we do? Aren't we just a superior church to other people? We must love Jesus more than the people down the road. Not meant this way at all. But it is instead meant as a conviction. Because she had called church after church after church. And most of them said, we'll get back to you. People are important to us. And we'll get back to you. But they never did. Including a church that is less than 100 feet from their front door. We are a church in the city of Plano. We are in the heart of North Dallas Metroplex. And this is our location. We meet at the corner of Alma and Parker Road every Sunday at 3 p.m. But are we really here? I can tell you where our longitude and latitude is, but where is our heart? I can tell you where the location of our church service is. I can tell you the location of our next Connect group meeting. I can tell you the location of our next Goal Youth outing. But where are we really? Are we really present? There's someone that needs us. Are we really here? Do we really hear them? Do we really hear God telling us, walk down this road, this desert road? Are we present? I need this altar to be full today. I need it to be full of people that will stop being absent. Stop being an absent Christian. I need to see some people who have decided they're going to be present. That they're going to be present in God's presence. That they are not going to let a moment go by where they are not honoring Him and inviting Him into their life. They aren't going to just go through another church service. They aren't just going to sing another worship song. They're going to give their all to Jesus. I need to see that in this altar today. I need to see some people that are going to be present in their homes. people that have stopped being distracted by all their problems or by all the materialistic greed or whatever else is going on, you're going to be present. You're going to be there with your children. You're going to be there with your friends. You're going to be present. God, where do you want me to be? I can only be one place at a time. So God, why don't you decide where I should be?
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.